Gedvach, welcome back. Pasha told us deals with the Maisa Ovis of Yitzchak, Yaakov, Esav. When you think about Yaakov, obviously he was one of the Ovis. In the Shpitzim we say he's Yaakov Shalimta, he had a Milus HaShleimus. He was the paragon of Emes. And his nemesis, Esav, Pungfaket. He was, think about Esav, I'm sure conjures pictures of a person who was perhaps rude, a person who was not polished, rough, unkempt, uneducated. And clearly, Chazal say, obviously, that Rosh, that Esav was a Rosh. I mean, in the Haftarah that we lay in our Kodesh Baruch Hu has a sinner towards Esav. How's it possible? You have two brothers, Yaakov and Esav. How's it possible? To hear on the one hand, they both came, they had the same set of parents. On the one hand, you have someone who could become Zish HaSholem, and on the other hand, you could have someone who's Ace of HaRosha. And that's what the Pasuk is trying to address. The Pasuk says that the primary, the fundamental differences between Yaakov and Esav was rooted into two things. There were two different character traits that they had. Esav's character traits, in a nutshell, was a Ish Yodeh Tzayed Ish Sodeh. And Rashi explains he was an Ish Tzayed, Yodei Tzayed. He used to be mad at people, be going to das people. That's how he acted. That's how, that was his nature. That's how he succeeded, or he perceived that he succeeded in life, was through Hatah. And it was an Ish Sodeh. He was influenced by society. He stayed outside. He stayed in the streets. On the other hand, Yaakov was an Ish Tom. He was Tumimis. His Piv and Liba were Shoven. He didn't use these devious, these methods of how he thinks to be successful, like Esav, no faket, he was an ishtam, to the point maybe even naive, but it was definitely, he was straight. And he was Yoshev Oyalim, and he stayed within the confines of his home, of his yeshivas. He was Yoshev Oyalim, and he was influenced only by the home and by yeshiva rather than from society. So basically you have two differences. One difference is that Esav was someone who was a Yodei Atzayit, it was Matah, and it was Issadah, he was influenced by society. And in the other end, you have Yaakov, who was a Nishtam, who was straight, and he was Yeshev Olam, who was influenced by the home and by yeshivas. I think it's important to, at least still, to realize that these were the only two differences that they had, or at least the primary two differences that the Torah mentions that could create a Yaakov and Esav. We're dealing with Kenevis Das, and we can see how important. 50% of the problem was the fact that he was Yodei Tzayed, that he was Matah people. And 50% of the correction for Yaakov would be that he was an Ishtam. And as we strive, and we're learning through this Simen, we're striving to be that Ishtam, that Yaakov Shalemto. We should be zaykataka to aspire. Masi yagia ma'aseh to ma'aseh avos. We should aspire to taka be that Yaakov ishtam. People were bothered last week. I mentioned apparently I dropped a bombshell. It wasn't me. It was the Gemara. The idea of what considered mata akum and yimukuyev to notify people of a fourth Taiva. When you do someone a taiva and it's exaggerated or it's perceived to be more than it really is, you have to notify the recipient of your true intention. And we mentioned the case of a person who's traveling to another city on a business trip, and then he finds out, or he knows about his friend's chasana, and he drops into his friend's chasana, and the friend thinks, or at least it's possible to believe, that you only came for the chasana, you traveled all this way for the chasana, so you were native to him, you were going of das, that he believes that you came so far. When in truth, for his chasana alone, you wouldn't have come. You only came because he had a business trip as well. Or you don't have to go so far. Someone pointed out in Lakewood itself, you could have the other side of town. For one simcha, you might have not gone. For two, maybe you would. Or better yet, you had a best friend simcha on the other side of town, so for him you walked. Once you're there already, you'll drop into someone else's simcha. And you'd be mechuyev to be medir, the Baal simcha, that you're Baruch Hashem, I was able to attend your chasana, I'm able to attend your kiddush, I'm very happy, your shalom zacha. A mazel that worked out well because I had another kiddush, another simcha in the area. And people were bothered by how can it be that you're hurting him. In the meantime, faket, you smile and you should be machabit him and he feels good. Why should you burst his bubble and disappoint him and insult him like that? Let me make a suggestion. I don't mean to be cynical, but the suggestion is is that the Torah is makbin on Goyin of Das. You shouldn't be from, and if you feel that he should be a nish mechubin and he deserves the kibbutz, he deserves to feel good, then instead of doing it on his cheshbon of being Goyin of Daitoy, faket, I think we should strive to takabi pivot libushavim. We should strive to have that true Avos Yisrael that necessitates, that is required to taka make the trip to the other side of town to Zohan Simcha. If we feel it's taka so worthy that he should feel good for your appearance and for your attendance and taka, that's what we should strive for. Instead of doing it faket, of keeping our feelings that we really won't go, but faket to be going of Daitan and his cheshbon and he should owe you one, that's what we do faket. I think we should strive to be that Yaakov Ishtam. Just to go over, maybe I should be moisif. If someone is mekayim, the siman, if someone is nizar in this, these in yonim, I can guarantee, I'll be maftiach you, that you'll feel, you'll develop a greater Avos Yisrael. People, you know, there's no problem. Obviously, we're influenced by society, but the idea that people have this social grace, this politically correct attitude, and that's our mahus, how we do things, how are you, and all that. Or like, take the simcha, for example. We'll go to the other side of town, drop in on the simcha, make him feel good, and he thinks we're good, but we never changed. If you'll have to be truthful with yourself and truthful with the other party, you'll see that you'll have to confront yourself and make a decision. Either I don't go to a simcha, I'm truthful, and he'll know where I stand, or I'll work on myself to taka, develop a degree of Avos Yisrael that I should. Not saying that you have to love everybody, but I think the fact that we go around and we do these things, these fake, these empty, gratuitous favors or whatever it is to other people, I think it's a travesty to a true Avos Yisrael. I don't think that that's Avos Abrius. I know tact is wonderful, but I don't think that that's really Avos Abrius, and it definitely is not going to come to true Avos Yisrael. Just to go over the machlokes, the important machlokes, Rosh and Ran, that we had last week, I just want to say it over, even though we really have to go weiter, but some people were concerned and maybe didn't fully understand the machlokes. We had a machlokes, Rosh and Ran. There's a Gemara that says that an Amora was coming into the city, and two other Amoraim were leaving the city. They didn't know he was coming, and they were leaving the city to go on their own way. And the Amora who was coming to the city felt great. Oh, look, you came out to greet me, to escort me into the city. And the Amora said, no, if we would have known you were coming, Taka, we would have loved to come out and greet you. But we had no idea, and we were going our own cheshbon. The other Amora who was leaving the city said to him, why'd you tell it to him? You burst his bubble. Achlishtei ledaita, you made him feel bad. She said, I had to tell him, otherwise it would be Gnevis Das. She said, you didn't have to tell him who hit the Esatzmai. He made his own mistake. It wasn't your fault. And we discussed that there are many other examples in the Gemara that we don't apply this principle, who it is atzma, this heta of who it is atzma. When do we say this heta of who it is atzma? And to be magda this heta of who it is atzma, that he himself made the toys, is a machlokes rishonim, the Rosh and the Ran. The Rosh says over there, who it is atzma, was because there was a missing ingredient, and that is that there was, how should the Amor who was coming to the city expect, or why should he believe that the Amoraim who were leaving the city knew of his coming? So he had to jump to that conclusion. He had to insert an ingredient that was missing. That probably, if they're coming out, probably they knew of my coming, and that's why they're coming out to greet me. So he inserted an ingredient that wasn't there, which led to his toys. Well, at the same time, instead of jumping to that conclusion, he should have jumped to the real conclusion that maybe they didn't know I'm coming, and they were really going on their own way. So who hit this atma because he inserted a necessary ingredient to this toys. However, if it's something that's natural progression over the maisa, I open up a barrel, someone comes and I'll open up a new bottle of soda, and let's say he needs that fizz, and he thinks, let's say he's makbid, I know he's makbid, and he thinks I'm doing it for him, and I am, I'm trying to give him a chab and give him fresh soda, but he doesn't realize that's my only bottle left, I only have one bottle of soda, but he thinks I'm doing it for him, and let's say he has the right, it's a natural progression to believe that I'm doing it for him, to assume that, then that's a form of Gnevis Das, and you don't have the head of Hu Etir Tatzmai. That's the Shitas Harosh. It's the Muhammadika Shita. The Ran, on the other hand, is a Mokuladika Shita, and the Ran says that Gnevis Das means that you falsely are being Mechavit somebody. It's Meduik like that in the Ramam as well. You do Maisa Pitoy, They're trying to falsely be mechabed or appease somebody when and he should believe that you're doing more than it really is. It's an exaggerated toivah or a false toivah. The case of the Marayim, when they're leaving the city, the reason why it was Huitis Atzma is because two of Marayim weren't leaving to greet him Bachal. There were taka going on their way. They had no shaykhah to be mechabed in. So the whole fact that he believed, Amari was coming, believed that he was being greeted, being escorted, that was a toast. Who hit their sansweet to believe that there was a maitha kibbut in the first place. Mashenkin, when you talk, open up a fresh barrel of wine for somebody, or you do a taiva for somebody, and it's an exaggerated taiva because you already have contracted out the remainder of the barrel, so you're not really taking a risk in opening up a fresh barrel. So you're doing a maitha kibbut, an exaggerated maitha kibbut, a false maitha kibbut, so then it's a problem of gnevis das. But if you're not doing a kibbut b'chalal, then we have the het of Huetet Atzmai. So the run is more makel, and if you take the run, you can maybe stretch it to other things. Someone suggested last week that maybe if you're going to someone Simcha, not that he should owe you one, but you're doing a pasha because you know that he needs chizuk, you know that he's down, you know that he's depressed, you feel that he needs the moral support or whatever it is, and you're pasha, you're not interested at all in him thinking that you're a good friend. You're doing a pasha that he should feel good that people are attending a Simcha. Maybe later on you'll have a heta. You're not doing it to be mafat to him in any way. You're not looking for any return, for any return favor or any return relationship. Could be a lot of heta later on. But later on, even if it's totally inadvertent, totally unintentional, you walked out of the city not realizing he's coming, later on will still be a problem with Gnevis Das, unless who ate this way because he had to insert a missing ingredient. There is no, I don't have a clear psak. It's a machlokes we showed him. Like I said, the Rambam is much like the Ran from the Machaba. I don't really see either way. So, yes, like them, you might have a heta if you work with the Ran's type of alumnus. Let me share with you a story that happened with me this week. I was learning second aid in yeshiva. I was stuck on a Shver Yad Yehuda. Safe on your day. I managed to spend the latter half of second aid on it. And I look up, I see 10 minutes after Seder, and I'm still stuck. I don't know what to do. I have to leave. So I decide, you know what, on the way home, I'm going to drop by in the farm store, pick up a Yad Yud. I knew I had a busy night, but maybe I'll get around. I had to get a Gepshot. On my way out, I get a phone call from my wife. Can I pick up something from this farm store? That would be great. Now, I would like to believe that I would have said yes. Anyway, even if I had no interest to go to this farm store, but for my own reasons. I would like to believe. I'm not 100% sure, but at least this much I am pretty sure that I probably, considering my night, I had a lot of appointments that night, probably I would have asked her, is it very important? Do you need it tonight or could it wait till tomorrow? But now that I'm going there anyway, why bother asking? So that would be a form of Gnevis Das. So I did notify. I said, look, you know, Baruch Hashem, it worked out well. I had in mind I was going to the farm store anyway. Amazot, Vashet, Tashkocha. And I can tell you that she did appreciate it. That I can tell you. Because she made a comment to me sometime later that it just, to be truthful, that we know where we stand with each other. She knows where I stand, I know where she stands. It helps. Fakir, I think it's a mature relationship rather than saying, sure, no problem, what would you like? You know, and really you're doing it for yourself. I think that would be a form of Gnevis Das. All right, let's go weiter. We're really holding up to, we're up to Sif Ches. Sif Ches is really the beginning of part three. Part one was, Zvarim. Part two is Gnevis Das and Toivis and being Maxak Toiva Bechinam. And part three is really Gnevis Das in the marketplace. Gnevis Das in terms of how much you have to disclose and how to advertise and how to stem, do business in general. Rabbi Sif Ches, Dr. Machaba, Lo Yimka Lo Orsho Behema Mesa Becheskas Sheishchuta. You should not sell an Or. Now we're talking about really a minel, it's a shoe. You should not sell shoes which were created from an orsho behemia mesa. It was made out of a leather from an animal which died. Becheska sheishchuta. Apparently an animal who dies of old age or sickness, whatever, its leather is not so strong. An animal which is shechted or killed, its leather is stronger. So if you're going to sell this pair of shoes, orsho behemia mesa, becheska sheishchuta, and you advertise and you say that it was really becheska sheishchuta, that's going to be a problem of Gnevis Das. It's not as good, it's not as chazuk as a healthy animal which was killed for the purpose of whatever it is, but the leather would be good for shoes or other belts, whatever it's made out of. Second, that was the mice in the Gemara. It's a shayla, I don't know pshat, but the mice was, someone did a friend a toiva, he sent him a beautiful barrel of wine, but on the top was oil. So the oil floated to the top. He opened up the barrel, he thought, wow, I have 20 gallons here of oil. So he invited a bunch of friends over, we're going to have a party tonight, we're going to have oil as a dip. And it came out, it was just the top was oil and the remainder was wine. And what ended up happening is he was totally embarrassed because after a few guests came, he ran out of oil. And his embarrassment was so severe that the Gemara says that he committed suicide. So from there, Mikan, the Chazal, they said that someone should not send a barrel of wine with Shem and Tzav Alpiv because you're faking the guy out. Now it took that mice of suicide to cause this maimer, but depending how you learn it, but if you learn it's a partial form of Ganevis Das, that you're being mad to him and cause him to make a mistake, or he should be maxed like Toiva, that the Fashin in the Pshatim, I'd rather not go into because it's not as important. But anyway, Brikitsa, so the one you said you come out of this if you cannot fake somebody and falsely advertise something. I can give you an example. Let's say you sell an imitation or copied goods. You sell a watch which says a certain brand name and it's not true, or toys or things like that. A lot of manufacturers will do that. They'll take goods and, let's say, import them from China, something like that, and have fake brand names and sell them. So if it's so cheap, you know you're not getting a Cartier watch for $10, so then maybe obviously the price will disclose that obviously this is a fake copy, it's an imitation. But if it's something that the person could make a mistake and believe it's real, then you're going to have this problem of Lahim Kala Arjo Behemab Mesa Becheska Sheesh Chuta. Sorry? Yes, that could be. It could be time. Yeah. Well, what we're going to be talking about now, and from Chesan on, is a form of toys in Mekach. So yes, we're not talking about Gnevis Das of Achzakas Toiv anymore. He's not going to owe you one.
What's doing here? It should be the Mekach Toiv.
Well, from Chesan on is all this. That's what we're talking about. It's really Mekach Toiv would be what's the ramifications and what's his is an actionable in court. What is his recourse is. Yeah, Mekach Toiv, not Mekach Toiv. What we're going to concentrate is the law that it's a form of Gnevis Das, a form of Hatah. Someone to say it goes into another Zvorm, like we said last week, it can go into a law of Leisig Noivo. It's going to be an Issa not to do these things. Even if it's not, I should point out, even if it's a Mum, but it's not so vite that the Mum which has been Mevato the Mekach. We're going to see many examples that it's not so extreme, but it's enough that the Lekach should have known about it to make a decision, and you didn't notify him, you didn't disclose it to him. That will be a problem of an Issa of Gnevis Das. And that's basically from Chesan on, how to advertise at a market. And let's do one more sif and we'll get a better feel for what's going on.
Wear the imitation watch? Is it Gnevis Das to me?
I hear the Shaila. If you're going to do it and you try to impress other people with fake goods, I hear the Shaila. I mean, what would be, it's not a form of Akzakas Taiva, but you're impressing him falsely. I don't know. I have to think. Custom jewelry could be that if it's so prevalent, people could know. But if let's say it's a good fake, it's a good imitation, and people are going to think, oh, and you're going to get somewhere. It opens up doors in the marketplace, whatever. You're going to look chashiv. I hear the shayla. I don't know.
Isn't there more about being mechaber somebody for 2 seconds? You only know one. You're supposed to tell them.
So tell him which way.
He's supposed to tell him, I only know one mitzvah. You mechabed me like I know two mitzvahs.
Right.
I only know one.
Right.
Isn't there more like that?
Okay, here you
go. So if he's mechabed him because he's wearing a fancy suit, blah, 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 so maybe it's the same problem. And tell him, you know, this is really off the rack and it's a $50 suit, you know. Don't mechabed me.
All right.
I don't know.
I hear the Shaila. Yeah. Let's move on to Sif Test. We'll get a better handle of what's going on. Sakha Machaba test. Aimafakasin la odum vala behemov lakalem. You cannot spiffy up an item and prove it. Obviously at the point of sale, you're trying to sell it, get rid of an evid or a behemoth or kalem. So what you do is you improve it, you paint it up or whatever it is. Kagoin, how are you gonna improve an evid? Let's buy a zakin evid. Let's say the evid's old, he already has white hair. So what you do is you'll dye his hair black. The Machaba talks about his zakin, his beard, the Gemara talks about his hair as well. So let's buy Zakan Evid Oimid Limkar. Kadesha Yer Kabachi, he'll look young, vibrant, and like this, he'll be able to be sold. That you're not allowed to do. Why? Because again, it's a false improvement. He really has white hair, he's really old, and what you're doing is you're improving it to the point that the customer should be aware, the consumer should know, is this a good Evid? Is this an older Evid? I want to know how many years, what my life span is, what, how many years are going to get out of this Evid before he retires, or before he's nifta. I should stop over here. Rav Moshe had a shayla. Actually, it was the previous. It was the Sefer Moshe has a shayla. Moshe Mordechai Epstein has a shayla. If someone wants to go to an interview, and he has white hair, he has signs of age, and what he'll do is he'll dye his hair to be able to land the job. Is that permissible? And Rav Moshe writes the following. There are two problems here. There's a problem here of gneivus das, and there's also a problem, how is a person, a man, allowed to dye his hair? There's an issa, you're not allowed to dye your hair. So that is the Rav Moshe and the other Gedolim, right? It's not Pasha, but that's how they come out. That the issa of dyeing hair would be if for Shidin or Svaris, but they all come out if you're going to act like women or you'll do kishud like women, different. But that's the realm, that's the idea, the mahos of the issa. So he says, but if you're doing it not to be interested in kishut and yipoy, but you're doing it pasha to land the job, it's for business purposes only, they say that there's no problem of dyeing hair. There's no issa of l'subash kevin. That's mitzad the issa of l'subash kevin. But mitzad the issa of onah, this din of atav, of tois, of matter, there Rav Moshe says the following, and they say it as well. And since the Santa Chidush, they say that he, even though it's a Mufusha Mechab that says, you now let a dye here, right over here, it's a Maisa of Hatov, they say that only buy an Evid, that an Evid is Konei Kinyan Olam, you're buying it for a long time. So depending how long the person's going to, depending on his age now, we know his average lifespan, whatever it is, he's going to die sooner, so you're going to lose that amount of years. Maybe turning back an odometer of a car or something. But he said, but when it, let's say a position, and you know that you're going to be able to last in this position for 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, the person doesn't need someone there. He's not looking to have someone guaranteeing him that he's going to be his employee for 20 years. He's looking for an employee now, what to do tomorrow. So Rav Moshe writes that if you know, it's very, very sensitive, very delicate, but if you know that you attack her as vibrant as someone who's a little younger than you, and by dying you're here, means let's say you lower your age by 5 years, and you know that you're as capable and as vibrant as, let's say you're 60 and you're going to dye your hair and you look down 55. You're as vibrant as a 55-year-old. You're as productive as someone who's 55, and you're only doing it that the employer should not get a false impression and say, oh, you must be old, you have white hair, and be turned off. They say that it's permissible and it's not a problem of atah. But if you're right, al zanem of yireis melakecha, it's specially written by this issa of anah. The Yerets Melekech, you have to be careful that you're not fooling yourself by fooling him. You're not trying to convince yourself that you talk a Roy Lekech. It's very dachistic, but if you talk a no, then they say it's permissible.
The application says the age. It's only a question of the perception. The application says the age anyway.
If that would be the case. Well, again, you would need this heter that you feel that you are as... Let's say people age. I don't know if signs of age interfere with his productivity, but if it is, it means if you see that a person looks older, so therefore he'd probably be less productive. And by him dying himself or spiffing himself up, I guess only dies what comes to mind, that would be a problem, just because he discloses his age. That still might be a problem. If not for this heter of Rav Moshe, that if you know, you're convinced that you're as good and as productive as a younger worker, then it would be fine. Well, let's continue. Another problem with the Mechab, now he's going to, that qualifies Mefarkas in Adam. How do you Mefarkas a behemoth? So the Mechab, Lahashkas a behemoth Meisubin, you make it drink water, Meisubin, or Shemenafkin, it makes it blow up. V'zoikvin Sarasen, it causes its hair to stand, Kadesh Shatirish Menes, and now it looks larger and wider than it truly is. So in the marketplace, when you're selling this animal, oh, he looks, oh, he must be a real fatty animal, real gesunta animal, and it's not true, that will be a problem of being mata. V'chein im mekardin, pish korbim, magredes, misrek, sheshin of dakim, comb, v'lo mekartzefim, another form of combing, kartzef, magredes, misrek, sheshin of ovim. So you now be mekartzefim, noisor, kadei liskev, sarasar, again, to make its hair stand, it will look and appear to be larger or fatter or healthier than it really is. Now again, it's a form of matter. You're making a false impression by spiffing it up. I should point out that rather in this week's Haftorah, according to the Malbim Pshat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had tainis and the Kayanim, and one of the tainis he had was V'amartem, Hine matlo v'pachtem ma'isai. What that means? So the Fishinu Pshatim, but the Malbim Pshat is, Hine, what they used to do is they used to bring the Karbonis They used to blow up the kabbonis. Apparently they knew how to blow up the kabbonis. The Malbim says that they used to put air, ruach, between the skin and the meat of the animal, make the animal look much bigger than it really is. And they used to schlep this animal to the base of Mikdash and pride themselves and boast, look what the carbon I brought, such a great carbon. I even schlep, you know how heavy this thing is? It's huge, it's humongous. Sehine matlo, it was mamish atircha, it was weary, I'm weary from carrying such a big animal. But vipachta meisai. It's really a shvach animal, just you blew it up. Like mamish's case, you were, sort of this case, you were menafkin meisai with ruach, and it really wasn't as heavy as you would like it to be, to like it to appear. And that was a form that Kach Baruch had a tain on Klai Yisrael for doing such a thing. That's a form of Gnevis Das. And third, the final thing is by Kalim, Dr. Machaba, but Litzboya Kalim Yishonim. If you're going to paint old Kalim, Kadesha Yiruk Kachadoshim, because you want it to look new, to look better, that's also a problem of Gnevis Das, of Mefarchas in Kalim. Now, I should point out, the Mechaber says, it's only Litzboya Kelim Yishanim Kedei Sheyiru Kechadoshim. The Gemara says, however, if you have Kelim Chadoshim, you're allowed to paint it. You're just allowed to take old Kelim and paint it to look new. But new Kelim, you're allowed to paint it to appear better. And there's a difference between the two. One is you're trying to cover over its problems, its discrepancies. You're trying to cover over its age, its wear and tear, so you paint it right before you sell it, so the guy doesn't notice it's rusty or whatever it is. That's a problem. However, if you have something new and you would like to paint it to show the customer how beautiful it could be, you want to spiff it up to make it look its best, you have it silver and you want to polish it before you sell it, that's fine. It's a true mila that it has, and you just want to show it in its true form, in its advantageous form. You want to show it in its beautiful form to show the customer how nice it really is or could be. That's fine, because that's not false. Avada, it's something that you didn't keep it that way in that condition, but fine. But for the customer, you want to show the customer how nice this really could be. And it's really the case, so it's not a problem. However, you take Kalim Yishonim and you paint it to be Kalim Chadoshim, that's a problem, because you're covering over its movement. And therefore, if you have Kalim Yishonim, and the purpose of painting would not be to cover over its wear and tear. But again, it's very Reisim Elakecha, but you're doing it just to show how pretty it could be. That is fine. That's not a problem. The problem is only if you're trying to cover over its defects, cover over its flaws, cover over its wear and tear, its use. You'll have a car, a used car, and it's rusty, so you might send it for a paint job or whatever it is, something like that. That will be a problem because you're covering over its discrepancies, its flaws. But if it's, you're only doing it just to show the customer how nice it could look, that is fine. Now I'm going to get back to it with a few examples. Vein doifkin bekirbayim, and you're now let it blow up, similar to what we had before, bikabayim, b'nei mayim, when you're in a butcher shop, to show that it's fuller meat, whatever, they used to blow it up, kadesh yirushimonim b'rachavim, it looks fattier and it looks bigger than it really is. V'ein shayrim habasa b'mayim, and you cannot soak the meat in water, kadesh yirushimonim v'shamim, that it should have a wider appearance, a healthier appearance. That you now let it do. Again, because it wasn't as healthy or as white and what you're doing by the act of soaking it is you're making it give a false impression that it's healthier or better than it truly is. So basically, in a nutshell, you're now let her do something to improve an item if the improvement is just an appearance. It's false. It's on the surface. But if you're doing it just to bring out its best, that is permissible. I'm going to get to it. I'm going to give a few examples and I'll take questions. Now, let me give you first let me start with a machloikis, which is very important. The end of the Machaber says, it really is said in this whole inning. The Machaber says, "Vein shayrim habasa b'mayim kedei sheyir lovin v'shamin." You now let it soak it to make it look whiter and healthier than it really is. The Sma points out that just like we see later on, we're going to see later on in the Siman, that when there's a minig, you're allowed to do it, because everyone knows, if it will be a minig, and his time there was such a minig, that all the butchers used to soak their meat to make it look white and look its best, or better than it really is, to look whiter than it really is, that is mutter zaktasma, because anyone who's going in won't be fooled to believe that this is white meat. They'll know that it's possible that it wasn't white meat and was only white because of its soaking process. So therefore you're not actively fooling someone, because everyone knows that the white, the color is not a proper indication. It's not a good indication of what it truly is, because everyone soaks the meat. If you have such a thing that everyone does it, so he'll ignore the color, he won't get the false impression. And then he's left with the regular suffix, whether it was white meat, or whether it was really good meat, or whether it was not. So then he should ask the seller, whatever it is. If he doesn't, he buys it as is. It's his headache, not the seller's headache, because the buyer should have asked. I didn't give a false impression, because he knows to just ignore the white, the color of the meat. The Divrei Me'akil argues with this, man, and he says the following. He says, as we're going to see later on, that every time that minig is permissible, wasn't in such a case. The minig was permissible that you know what you're getting. The minig was, let's say, we're going to see later on, everyone needs to mix, blend wine with water, which is common today as well. It's kind of possible in the cheap wines to get 100% wine. And everyone knows that it's always mixed with water. So you can have a taina that I bought wine, I want 100% wine. Because the minig is, everyone knows that in this wine there's going to be water. So you're not fooling me. I don't have a problem to think that it was truly wine. Now, Jenkin here looked at the Dibimaki, why are you soaking this meat? You're only soaking today that the customer shouldn't know. You're trying to cover over its defect. The customer shouldn't know, shouldn't be able to ascertain its true health, its true breeds of the meat, its quality. And like this, the customer won't know. So it's true the customer knows that the color is not a good indication because everyone does it. But at the same time, he won't know it's true. It's true essence. He won't know if it's true quality. So basically, you covered over a way that the customer should detect its quality. So you're doing it, why? To be matter. And a lot of Akreinim go with this man, allow Chassid David and Moshe, and hold that it's muta because it's a customer's headache. As long as he knows to ignore this indication, because everyone does it, then it's perfectly fine. Every meat is soaked, so every meat looks white. So if that's the case, even if let's say maybe even real good meat, they wouldn't soak because it's white anyway. So again, but they know when every single meat in the store is going to be white, either because it's white b'teva or it's white because of soaking. So they know to just ignore the whole soaking process, to ignore the color, because good meat and bad meat, they're all white. So they should ignore that. Now I'll give you a marshal, just a simple thing that it should come out. What they do now, when they sell packaged things, they'll bedafka blow up the package. A bag of potato chips, once you open up the bag, you'll see that it's only half filled. And even though it's true, they write on it, the chayt is certain that it's 1 ounce, whatever it is, but they have to blow it up to give an impression that there's more in there. It's fuller, it's a fuller bag.
It doesn't crush
that. I appreciate, I admire your dan lakaskos. You think so? Well, in a box of cereal, they also make the box bigger than the bag inside, also because they don't want the cereal to be crushed. Oh, from a graphic perspective. Okay. Now, that should be L'chayr Makhlek is Sma and Divrei Me'akil. According to the Sma, it's fine because everybody does it. So you know, just don't look at the size of the bag. Just read how much is in there, what the weight is. But according to Divrei Me'akil, you're doing it today to fool the customer. And he shouldn't know the truth, what the true volume is. And that would be a problem. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says, it's an interesting thing. He said he brings down like the head of the Sma. He brings down kilo itzmot, and then he fears it. And I'll quote: however, b'shoymen nafsha yirachik mizeh ki avo pikein. Even though he's supposed to know that the color is not a good indicator, yesh lachu sheyizba kainu shehu shamein beemes, who think that it is truly shamein shere yesh habish mona boilam, which is really Divrei Me'akil taina. He won't know the truth, because it might be truth, it might be full, it might be white b'teva, so he won't get down to the truth. So therefore, shem menafshei yirachek mizeh. So even though it's like a pshar, even though the ikah halacha might be like the sma, but shem menafshei yirachek mizeh, not to do it, and to fear perhaps like the Divrei Me'akil type of a svara. So I'm saying even if they have a potato bag, everyone knows, but a guy might have the false impression that it's fuller than it really is.
Well,
because there is no bag. I hear. Okay, fair enough.
you know, that's only good if everybody would do it. But if everybody else who soaks their meat, and I don't, my meat looks worse than everybody else's. They'll think I soaked it, and it still looks like that. So I'm in worse shape. It's like a potato chip manufacturer. One potato manufacturer will make his bag smaller. Everybody will think that he has less than the other guy, and it's not true. So he has to keep up with the same size. So everybody will know that he's the same as everybody else.
Doesn't the marketplace discount something and therefore make it knows what the heck is if everyone sells it? The marketplace discounted it. No one's going to pay more because it's white.
Well, we're not talking about the price, by the way. I should point out that this whole entire sibman is irrelevant to the price. Even if you're selling for its true price, there's still an issa of mata because you're fooling him. He only was lured to buy it because he thought it was larger. Otherwise, he would have went for the bag of cookies. He went for the potato bag because it looks it's going to be more filling. There's more volume there. It's irrelevant to price. But the word of discounting, that's kufudus ma'asvara. That since everyone does it, naturally a person will discount this indicator.
Because everyone assumes that you soaked it. If you didn't, so you're the man.
Okay. Let me give you an example where it comes out. You have the shayla often. You'll have an isha who's muberet. She's pregnant. She's going for an interview. And it's on the earliest stage of her pregnancy. And she wants to know, could she wear looser clothing, bigger clothing, that it won't show the employer and that she's pregnant, because if she shows that to the employer might say, well, at least it'll give an impression to play to make a cheshen. In 4 months she's going to be out for 6 weeks and have to get a substitute. Now obviously he knows that she could become pregnant at any time, but why should he start mamish with someone who's already pregnant and he knows that in a few months he's going to have to find a substitute? So she wants to know, could she wear looser clothing and hide the fact that she's noticeably pregnant? That is the shayla. L'chayra, like Rav Moshe, like this matab of Asvara, it would be permissible. Because this matab we're talking about where it's the minig, so everyone sees that the color is not a good indicator. So now what are we left with? We're left with a suffix. He says that the koina is at fault for not asking the question. He should have found out, is it this white because it's teva, or it's white because you soaked it, or whatever it is. So as long as you're allowing the customer to go either way, you're not giving a dafka false impression, could go either way, and he's a suffix, then he should ask if he wants to know the truth. And if he doesn't, it's his problem. It's like, who hit this atzma? That's the lashon some of them use. Who hit this atzma? It's his fault for not asking further. So Mamela, in our case, even an isha who's not noticeably pregnant, nevertheless, she might be pregnant. She might be holding on the first trimester. So every employer has to entertain that she might be pregnant, even if she's not showing. So it's always a suffix by him. Nevertheless, he feels uncomfortable asking her, or got it illegal to ask her. It's true. But Avo Pekin, well, there's a reason why they made that law, but Lemaise is, let's just keep out without the law. Let's say whatever the reason is, he should try to ask her. If he was makbid that she should not take leave in a few months' time, he should ask her if that's what he's makbid on, and find out if she's pregnant or not. He can ask in a natal way, do you plan on missing any time this year or whatever it is? And if she says, you know, then he'll get to the bottom of it. But the fact that he didn't bother asking, so she's okay. It's his fault. Who it is not to believe that she wasn't pregnant? Sorry? You can't ask a question because it's illegal. I hear. I don't know what to do with Adina and Malkus Adina. If it does have then that alone is by its own virtue. But if not, then I don't know. Maybe you can ask in a very natal way. Like I said, do you plan on going on vacation? I mean, I don't know how you would do it, but yes, you would have to try to find a way how to get out of the legality issue, get around it. But yes, it's something that, so therefore she's a right to go in, and it wouldn't be a problem, because who it is, that's me. And perhaps in that case, even the Shulchan Arav would be murdered. Not the Devi Makir, but the Shulchan Arav. Because Shulchan Arav sounds like he's only saying in his case that there was an indicator. And the indicator was that it was white, so even though everyone should discount it, but Yesh Lakush, Shayizba Kainu Shu Shomin. So I don't know how white he's taking it. In our case, she's not giving her a false indicator. She's not saying, she's not wearing the tightest belt to show that she's bedafka, not pregnant. Forget. She's just covering over the situation that he won't be able to detect either way. And she's not giving him, leading him to believe either way, so then l'chayra, it would be permissible like the yeshitas. All right, let me give you another case which is common, and this really should have a shaylas chacham, but the yaivitz and others bring down by shidduchim. How are you allowed to go on a date and wear your best suit or put on makeup or whatever it is? And the reason is you, that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to take kelim chadashim and improve it because you're showing how beautiful you could look. What the appearance, your spitz appearance, what it could be. That's fine. But if someone has a mum, then he's mechuyev to disclose it. And when it comes to lila, if someone taka has a mum that's nageh to shidduchim, you should definitely have a shaylas chacham when he's mechuyev to disclose it. Obviously, you're now allowed to cover over the mum, but if let's say it's some medical record or something that you're not covering over, you just don't want to disclose it, so there the achreinim nemon, that the issa of just not disclosing, it only takes place prior to a mecca, prior to a sale. And when you want to apply to shidduchim, depending on the problem, depending on the rav, and depending on the situation, you might have a hetter that you don't have to disclose it to before the engagement. You might not have to disclose it to before the chasna. Clearly, by the chasna, you must disclose it. But the question is, at what stage? You have to disclose it before the first date, maybe the third date, or whatever it is. The yaivitz is very shafal l'shenis, and he says that someone who doesn't disclose these things by shidduchim, not only is being mata, chaveri is being mata himself, because the sefer shel davar is going to be poetic lashon, but boys or whatever, he's going to be really embarrassed and boishes because it will hit, you know, it will come out, and then at that point the person might have a gerushin, whatever it is, and it will just make it even worse. And therefore,
why do you have to disclose it before the first date? Why at all? And I mean, not, I mean, why at all before the first date?
Why before the first date? I'll tell you.
After a couple days, then you can tell.
All right, I can tell you a reason why you have to disclose before the first date, and that is because if the meduba would know what the problem is before the first date, he wouldn't bother going out. And therefore, you are wasting his time. If you believe that he would disclose it, he might not do it. You're dashing his hopes. He thinks he has someone who he should... First of all, he's turning away other people at that time. You're wasting his money on the date. You're wasting his time. You're wasting his whole emotional outlook about dating. It's mamish. You're taking advantage of the situation. You're really stringing him along. So,
but if you think there's a good chance that once they meet, the moon won't bother.
Okay, so that's why I said, that's why I didn't want to say anything specific, and I said that's why you should have a shaylas chacham before every single situation. What moment you have to disclose and at what point? I'd rather not get into it, it's going to be very sticky. But getting back to here about a mekach, basically what we come out of here, you're now allowed to falsely improve a product or beautify a product, but if it's truthful and you bring out its best, that will be fine. Someone gave once a mosh, I don't know the mitzvah 100%, but he said that before someone sells a house, sometimes they'll paint the house white on the outside and the inside, I know, to make it look roomier and airier and larger than it really is. Apparently when a house is white, it's more imposing, more majestic. I'm not sure on the mitzvahs, but that's what he claimed. And therefore, you would have this problem because you're making it look larger than it truly is. If that's not the reason, but you're not trying to fool and make it look larger, but you're trying to show the person how eerie looking the house could be, and it's truth. If you paint it white, it looks eerie and the person feels good, then it'll be fine. But if you're doing it to try to impress the other party that it's a larger house than it really is, then it'll be a problem. That's fixing cars, etc.
Then the... So the new mekach that you said you're allowed to polish it
to shine it to make it
show how the house can look as large as it does.
No, so if you want, again, if you're trying to show how large it could look and how beautiful it could be, that's fine. But if you want to show how large it is, that means you're trying to give the impression that it's larger than it really is, that is the problem. It's docustic, and that's why it says, but you're going to have to know what your true intent is.
Right. Is
the
issue on the manufacturer or
the seller? The answer to that question is yes. The issue is on the manufacturer and on the seller if he would do these false things. Because my cheshbon, I'm a consumer, I have my cheshbon is with you. Your cheshbon is with the manufacturer. So your manufacturer duped you and you're duping me. So every single person would be...
Not duping, right?
Right, you now have a bloated bag of potato chips. And you know that, but the customer doesn't know that. So if that's the... Again, yeah, if I didn't have that, you're talking about, let's say you wouldn't have that. Let's say we're in a case where they don't blow up a bag of carrots. And this manufacturer blew up the bag of carrots. Something different. So you don't have any of the heterium. Yes, then the issue would be...
You have to notify the customer
that it's not as full as it truly looks. Even if it says the weight, but the volume. I want to know how...
What about food coloring?
Cereals sometimes have that disclaimer. This is all by weight, or Tam Tams or things like that.
In the food manufacturing process, what about food coloring? Is it also to use food coloring?
You're trying to show how beautiful it can look.
You sell soda. Does it have to be clear like the healthy soda? You
know, no, forget it. Colorful is attractive, and you're showing how nice the soda could look. Yeah, when you're in hot dogs.
Cherry soda would be not look red before they finish with red by 40.
That's fine, but like this, a person when he sees cherry soda, he knows, oh, that must be, that's flavored. The color is used to associate the flavor.
Most natural colors, so it should look ke'ilu. It was real.
Yeah, I think everyone knows that they're not squeezing cherries in the soda. You know, they'll have that.
Any packaging, any store, you know that.
Not every packaging, depending.
The ounces on the bottom.
Yeah, but I don't know how ounces translates into volume. That I don't know.
Even if you have the ounces on it, it's not always a head. For example, you sometimes go in and you buy a pound of coleslaw, and it's only 80 or 3/4 of a pound in there. And the price is on there, but it could be according to you, you know how to do it.
If what? If it's bloated, if there's a lot more room on it?
If you're charging by the container, if you're charging by the weight, you sold the guy that amount of weight.
But it doesn't say on it that it's not a full pound. It says on it's not a full pound. Okay, so he knows that even though you have a pound jaw, I think there everyone will know. He sees that it's not filled to the top. He knows that filled. He knows that you filled it. He asked for 3/4 pounds. So you use that container. I don't think that's a problem. You asked for that.
No, but what if you don't ask for it? It's just.
And you can't see that's not full to the top?
If you take a double look, you'll see. But if you go into a store and you grab a pound of potatoes.
I know. I think that's, you know, again, depending on the situation. But if I think most people could see and know that it's really not full to the top. But if you talk of faking someone else on the size and that is the intent, yes, you'll have a problem. You'll have a problem, and you'll have the problem, whoever makes it will have the problem. It's true. All right, any questions? All right, let's move on. So basically what comes out is that you're allowed to be mashbiach something truthful, but you're not allowed to falsify it and give a false impression of its true nature.
Anything today is packaged, it's always packaged, everything's
grown up. Is that true? I know, open up a can of tuna fish, it's packed to the top. So I think it's packed to the top. So depending on the item.
But the can costs more than the tuna.
Again. So the minigayim, so that means basically you're invoking this ma'atetah, so that would be fine. So that would be fine. If that is a minigayim and no one's going to be fooled, you have a head to the sma, and it could be even the different makils when it, like someone pointed out, because everyone does it, so no one's going to think otherwise. So that would be fine.
Well, a lot of times stores in town sell outdated products. It's a hesitate on the product. Well, you have to know
food. But food, you mean?
Yeah. A lot of stores in town sell.
What do you mean? Is it expired already?
Yeah.
It's frightening. I do know that I saw in the Heintiger Sefer, he said, he went even further. He said that if you'll have a product and you put the product on sale because it's nearing its expiration date, and that's why it's on sale, and you don't notify the customer that that's the reason why it's on sale, you'll have a problem of Ganeva's Das. Because the customer won't naturally look at the expiration date. Again, depending on it, maybe by milk they would. But on something that they won't naturally look at the expiration date, and therefore the buy-in, oh, it's on sale, they have three, you know? And that will be a problem of Ganeva's Das. I think then kosher cane if it's already expired.
We have a special type of lighting put into the store, which improves the lighting like 40% more than conventional lighting. It makes all the colors stand out bright. It makes everything look very, very, very nice. Is this going to be a problem?
Solon puts in better lighting in the store.
It's expensive, but
showing it to bring out real light. Colors.
Right. I know. The way I dehair, I'm not 100% sure, but I dehair like that. That it's not full. So you're making it appear.
No one has such lights in their home.
No. Namish, no one has such lights. So I mean, no one will ever be able to look.
You ever see a piece of jewelry look like it looks in the store?
And no one knows that that's what this guy is doing, that he's putting in his lighting. The customer doesn't know that. But could be everyone knows that. But you if you have that problem, yes, then Luchaya, again, you know, we have to know more of the materials. But if all the ingredients that you're saying is true, then Luchaya, yes, you would have to disclose to the customer that he has better lighting. But I would... I'm not convinced that that's the case. I, you know, could be.
You look at sale. You're not even mentioned the guy should come provide the things that's on sale. You want to show all the other items they have in store, so you have these things on sale.
That we're going to get to. It's a sif later on. We're going to get to it. Yet Hashem, you find your class, we'll get to it. All right, let's move on. Let's try to copyright one more sif. Dr. Machaba, Ein ma'arvin ma'at peris royim bahabi peris yofim. You have fruit, you keep on reloading the bin. So what you'll do is, you have good schar with bad schar. So you put in a minimum percentage, 10% of bad schar with your good schar, you'll mix it up. So now you put in the bin, gorgeous apples will come, they'll look at a few apples, each one looks splendid, and they'll just buy it 3 pounds worth, and in there is mixed bad apples. That you know that I do. Today, if the intent is, l'makom b'cheskes yofim. Even if they're the same in terms of expiration, they're both chadashim, still you have a problem because one is roim and one is yafim. The ain't so chloima, it will be chadashim be yishanim, because that you have a different problem. Because yishanim, like this pshat, the yishanim are better in terms of taste. Everyone has a different pshat. The yishanim are easier, they bake better. Let's say if you're talking about flour, and if you're going to mix Kadosh and Bishonim, the qualities could be poorer quality, so you're mixing in poorer quality with better quality, that's a problem. And so too Faket, Vafilu Yishonim and Kadoshim, even though Yishonim is better quality, so why is it a problem if you're mixing it with Kadoshim? Hafilu Yishonim B'yayikim Yachadoshim, it's no problem. Why? Maybe the reason why he's going after the Kadoshim is because he knows he can't eat the whole bunch of bananas today. He needs it for over the next week. He's going on a trip or whatever it is. So even though it's not as good, but he wants a bedavka by chadashim, so it should last longer. And by you mixing in the yeshanim, it's going to expire sooner. And so the yeshanim shaboy are going to spoil, and that you have a problem. So either way you have a problem, because either the quality is not as good, or because it's not as fresh and it won't last as long. So chadashim b'yeshanim, yeshanim b'chadashim, both ways are a problem. And roim b'yafim are also a problem.
Worse than the type of the yafim, or much worse, or just one step?
Even one step, it's inferior. It's one grade below. That's a problem. In fact, I don't believe this to be a pshat, but this man says he learns the chadashim b'chadashim as a new case. First is roim b'yafim, and then he says, I feel chadashim b'chadashim. You have two same types, same quality, same everything. You mix the two together, this man holds it also. Why? Because it's impossible, it's inevitable that one's going to be better than the other. So therefore you're going to have this problem of roim b'yafim. That's a smash sheet. I don't believe it to be the case, because at the same time, ekateisa, the yafim was so much more than the roim, the person's not going to notice. Maybe the roim was so much more than the yafim, and the person will detect, you know, the true nature of the fruit. I think the Mechaber is only saying, and in his medactic, because you're only going to put in a little bit, you're going to mix a little bit, because it won't be detected, it won't be noticeable. But if you put in 50-50, I don't think there's going to be a problem, because that will be noticeable. You're right, if you can marshalize it here, that it won't be noticeable, even 50-50, of course you'll have the same problem, but I don't think that's the mitzvah. Now this is the shittas of Mechaber, like many Rishonim. Other Rishonim, and that is Rashi, learns that it's not the case we just mix the bin, and the customer was on his own to figure out what type of quality it is. Rashi learns that talking about where you have a sign, chadashim, or peris sadaploini, a certain quality, I don't know, Floridian oranges, something like that, and you mix in other type of oranges, that will be a problem, because he's interested in a certain thing. And that's Rashi talking about where you were paisik lahedja, that you wanted a certain quality. And you have a chakir in Rashi, a double chakir in Rashi, is Rashi says, it sounds from the Mishnah, there are other cases which we're going to get to, and other cases in the Mishnah that Rashi has, it sounds like the reason why you're not allowed to mix because it's inferior. And Mashenka in a different case here, it says you're allowed to mix because it's superior. Now, you just took the two extremes. What would be like Rashi if I tell you I'm selling you Floridian oranges, and I'm mixing Californian oranges, and let's say the quality, and everyone could claim, everyone agrees that the two qualities are equal, are comparable. Is that permissible, or is it a problem, since I said lahedya, it's Floridian oranges? Well, Maisa Shoya, a guy asked me that he manufactures watches, cheap watches, and a guy wanted an order of his watches, and he couldn't fill the order. And the guy said he wants his watches, he couldn't fill the order, so what he did was, is he knows of a different manufacturer, a friend of his, so he manufactures the same watch, and he'll take from him and fill the order like that, and he knows that the two are comparable in quality. Is he allowed to do that, or is it a problem because it was known, or it was stipulated it's going to be watch A, not watch B? This guy's watch is, you know, merchandise ABC company and not a different company. That will be a problem. From Rashi, you have a serious stick of mashmois in the sugya. From other Rishonim, there is a mashmois dakus, that as long as it's perfectly comparable in every which way, in terms of like the Maccabi says, in quality, in freshness, in every which way, then it's permissible, even though you said Floridian oranges, you're allowed to mix Californian oranges. However, the Dibris Meisher, Rav Meisher writes that that's only if it creates a sign, Floridian oranges. But if the customer asks for Floridian oranges, if he does this stipulation, then Rav Meisher writes, even if it's perfectly comparable, it's going to be also as Kenevis Das, you're now going to mix in a different form, a different product, even though it's perfectly comparable.
So if somebody buys a case of apples from the distributor, quality A, and there's some that are mixed in there, which, however they get in, so the store owner's responsible?
Is it quality A or not quality A?
There's some in there that are not quality A.
So that's a problem inside the manufacturer. If the store owner knows that, he has to notify the customer. If he doesn't know it, he's not even going to give it that. He didn't know to fool the customer.
What if that's the way they send that?
And he knows that?
And he knows it.
So let me give you a marshal that we once had, the Gabi Mida Mishkro Mini. We have the same type of a problem. Let's say in the plastic industry, where when they package and they have a space 300 bags, and I was told that there are not always 300 bags in there, and that's a euphemism. It's really never 300 bags in there, or the size, whatever it is. And the customer doesn't realize that, but the store owner does realize that. Yes, that will be a problem. If the wholesaler knows that, he'll have to, you know, disclose that to the next, to the end user, that no, they're not really 300 bags. It's his. I take it up with you. You take it up with the wholesaler. I take it up with the retailer. And then the comics, he'll know. He'll have to disclose that. I suggest, as Tom, I made a suggestion in the past to other people, I believe it works, is that I can't say it's minastam. Someone wanted to suggest it even works minastam. I think definitely that we preferable to have a sign in the store that we don't, you know, we don't stand behind anything. We don't stand behind the quality. We don't stand behind the amount. We don't stand behind. What we're selling you is what the manufacturer. It's a nice way to sell, and some stores do it. We're only selling you what the manufacturer's lists. We're selling you according to the criteria that he discloses. That's what we're selling. We're not claiming it to be like that. If it's talking about 300 bags, we're not saying it. We're just saying we're selling you what the count the manufacturer claims to be 300, or the quality that the manufacturer claims to be grade A. We're only selling the criteria of what the manufacturer has, and I think it's it's snotless, and I think it'll get you out of a lot of trouble.
Last month you said that something like that doesn't work, right?
No. True. Last month we said that there's a concept of loyada democh ba mumin. If I sell you an item and I say I'm not look alai mumin and you can't come back to me, that doesn't work the way the makaba paskin. It doesn't work because loyada democh, because the person wouldn't be miracle mumin, and so of course he didn't think that was a mumin. He didn't believe you loyada democh. So first of all, that's a machlokes. So you have to be a machmer, but keep in mind, it's still a machlokes you shine him. Second of all, the machlokes, the Rama over there, will be Yisrael, who says that we apply that kind of lo yada demacha by mumin as well, because Bikr, the Gemara only says it by ano, could be, I'm just suggesting, could be that could be by mumin, where people are normally machmer on mumin. So we say that like an umdeno, a kocher would have never been Michael. So a kocher, we have to conclude, well, you're the Michael. He must have not known about it, otherwise he wouldn't accept such a deal. By Mido Mishko Minion, like weight and sizes and amounts and these things, and if it's a little off, instead of being 300 tissues in a box, there's 299 tissues. I don't know if that's a zayvite that you could have a concept of lo yada demakal. I'm not sure. Another suffix. Another thing is that beside the word over there is that minastam, a person expects to get a good behemo, a good item. So he's not makabo mumin. Over here, I'm not telling you that it's 300. I'm telling you to expect what's normal to expect in a wise potato chip bag. I'm telling you what's normal to expect in a tissue box, that they make the tissue box 11 inches long, and if you stick your finger inside the box, you see it's only 10 inches long, the tissue, and they keep a space on both sides of the tissues. You know, they fake you out. Whatever's norm, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to dupe you, and it's missing half its tissues, maybe in a canon, that's out of the ordinary, you are not Michael. But something which is the norm, I'm telling you, I'm not selling you 300 tissues, I'm telling you what Wise or Kleenex claims are 300 tissues, or what Cheerios claims is packed in the box. Another Sfarah Lukhari Katayna is that altogether, I'm not telling you that it's 300, it's a number, and I'm asking you if I'm a little off. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you any number, anything. Take it as that potato chip bag has it. Why happens to claim it's 300? What would be in the case if I tell you I'm selling you an animal, well, it's difficult by moment. What if I tell you I'm selling you a number of items, I don't tell you how many, I say I'm selling you this pile of stuff. How many pens are in this pile? Take this pile for $10. And a friend tips you off and he claims, he thinks that there's 25 pens in the pile and comes out there's 24. You have a tine on me? You have a tine on your friend. I'm telling you, I'm selling whatever pens are in the pile. I never should be to that number, 25. Your friend goofed. Here, I'm selling you this bag of potato chips. Yeah, if it wouldn't be a bag, maybe, you know, I duped you, but I'm selling you the bag, and you bought a bag of potato chips. Why? He's told you that that bag has a certain amount in it, and a certain volume, and it's puffed up, and has a certain amount of weight. That's not my problem. Take it up with Wise. That's your friend. I'm telling you, Lahedia, I'm not going with Wise's Cheshbonis. I'm not going with anyone's Cheshbonis. I'm selling you as items according to the manufacturers, whatever they disclose. Only trust on them. I'm not verifying those facts to be true. Nothing. I don't stand behind it at all. You're buying it as is. Whatever they say, that's only maybe as a gauge to measure if you believe them, but it don't hold me accountable for their what they claim the bags or the products contain. Hagutavak Shkaya.
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.